AM 560.
Welcome to the Game Changers Radio Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover game-changing ideas from world-famous entrepreneurs, local business celebrities, and the Game Changers team of experts. You'll hear inspiring stories, real-world advice, and game-changing ideas to transform your business and grow your bottom line straight from the mavericks and experts who lead their fields. These are the Game Changers.
There's nothing wrong with the capitalism. There's nothing wrong with the free enterprise. Don't try and make me feel guilty. I'm so tired of it. There's nothing wrong with making some profit. If you ask me, I will say it's a sign. There's nothing wrong with the wanting to live nice. I'm so tired of it. You're right about the revolution. I'm bringing down the rich. When was the last time you dug a ditch, baby?
Now, it's time to get your game up. Here are your hosts, Mark Imperial and Bob Regnerus.
Hey, welcome to the show. It's Mark Imperial, and I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Bob Regnerus.
He's back.
That's right, and this is the Game Changers Radio Show. It's the show dedicated to the American entrepreneurial spirit and all local businesses who make our country great. Bob, I'm just thrilled as pie to be here today and to be sharing these inspiring stories of American entrepreneurs and success stories from Chicagoland and beyond.
Well, you know what? It is great to be back. I was here as a guest, and I did my own Occupy the Radio Studio. I did Occupy WIND. I just parked out here, and I got a show. It's amazing.
It's the Bob Regnerus Show. That's right. I'll tell you what. This time around on Game Changers Radio, this is going to be the show where we spotlight famous businesses and the people who made them successful.
And we've got some great people in mind. It's today, the guest, our opening guest, is a slam dunk, is a Chicago legend. His family's a Chicago legend, and we're gonna tease that a little bit longer.
Literally, you know what? I want to call him like the ambassador of this particular industry we're talking about. Should I tease it any longer, or you want to reveal?
No, let's not reveal. Let's hang on to this. It's going to be a great interview, a great family, and everyone in Chicago will know this person. But this is just an example of the type of people we're going to have on each and every week.
Because what it's going to be about, I mean, really, success gives clues, right? So we want to follow, you know, in the footsteps of the great folks that are there before us to give us inspiration, inspire our entrepreneurs to grow their businesses.
Well, you know, the biggest thing right now is reality TV, which you and I know is fake reality. This is actual reality. These are people that are actually doing it. They're not pretenders. They're not out there teaching and not doing. They're doing, and they're blazing a trail, and they're game changers.
Do you remember when reality TV was really reality TV?
Actually, I don't. I'm so desensitized now.
Well, first of all, what is the deal with Game Changers Radio Show? Why define a game changer?
Game changers, Mark, are people that don't follow the norm. They don't need to follow the norm. They've got a passion inside them. They've got an energy about them. They've got a sixth sense, we call it, that just knows how to blaze a trail in a field. They're people that get in that field and everybody stops and takes notice. To me, that's what a game changer is.
And you know, I'm going to add to that. I see it as a person who really rises to the top of a particular industry, their industry, by defying that industry norm, right?
Yep.
Someone who carves out their own, let's say, unique competitive advantage.
And everyone else knows them.
And you know what? As a game changer and be able to carve out their own unique competitive advantage, that makes them bulletproof because they're literally creating their own category of one, if you will.
Absolutely. It's they become the face of an industry. They become the person that everyone else wants to model and emulate.
That's right. So tell them a little bit more about, you know, what our vision is for Game Changers Radio Show between the show and our live events.
Well, you and I, Mark, we meet a lot of interesting people. We want to hear these stories. You know, you and I spend a lot of time on education. We do a lot of reading. We go to a lot of seminars. We absorb a lot of information. And you and I, we know our listeners do too. And we're taking it a step further and saying, you know what? Let's feature the people that are really doing it. Let's hear the stories. I think you and I really appreciate the value of a story and what it can do to teach us, to inspire us, and give us that model of success that I think we're looking for. And I think that's what the listeners are going to really appreciate about this.
Absolutely. And, you know, they can get more information, by the way, at our website, which is GameChangersRadioShow.com. That's where we're going to put all the information. We're going to put our resources. They can tie into replays of episodes, correct?
Absolutely. We're going to podcast this. You'll be able to get it on iTunes. You can listen to it anytime, day or night. If you can't catch us live Saturday nights at 7 o'clock.
You know, and I'll tell you what, just from as an entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur myself, I've got my foot into local business marketing as well as global.
Yeah.
You know, I market on the web in one particular business, and I market locally, really a mom-and-pop operation. So we're trying to give you the perspectives on both sides of the fence.
Well, perspective is good, and just because you're a local business owner doesn't mean you could emulate and not emulate a large company if they're doing some good stuff. Inspiration could come from anywhere, and our idea is inspiration can come from the people that are doing it and the things that they're doing, and that's what we want to feature on this show.
Absolutely. Now, think about it. We're just coming out of the Thanksgiving holiday, right?
We are.
So what have we seen different going on recently in the local business economy?
Well, you know what? I came home about 10 o'clock at night after eating a massive dinner at my sister's house, and there was lines already outside the big box retailers.
That's right. I was doing a little tour on the way home, driving by all the big box retailers and seeing the people camped out and showing the movies in the parking lot at the Best Buy.
Standing in line for a $12 TV or something? What is it they're standing in line for?
You know, I was going to ask you, Bob, because I'm one of those guys that like buys everything online, right? So I'm wondering, am I missing out on anything really on these Black Friday specials?
Well, you have no chance of getting pepper sprayed unless somebody in your house, right? I mean, that's one thing you got to look forward to. You know,
yeah.
You've got that. You've got the trampling at the register.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that online.
Yeah.
And screaming kids.
I mean, are there really, though, deep discounted things that people are getting as a result of staying out in line like that?
I can honestly tell you I have no idea because I will not go into a store unless it's at least December 15.
And mm-hmm.
the internet not only has become my business, it's become how I shop.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
Well, Black Friday, I mean, it's become a tradition in a lot of families.
Yes.
Right? And that's another question. As I was going to Thanksgiving dinner that night, I was having a conversation with Christina, and I was asking her, how do you think, because everybody's starting to push up their promotions now,
yeah.
If you noticed the trend. I mean, just like how they pushed up their promotion of Halloween into like July, right?
Yep.
So now they're pushing up, Thanksgiving and instead of having Black Friday, they were, you know, let's not open at 5 or 6 a.m. Let's open up midnight the night before.
Or
right?
9 o'clock the previous night.
Right.
You know?
Now, the question I had was, do you think any of these businesses are somehow cannibalizing their potential business? Because aren't there a lot of folks that say, you know, this is a tradition. We get up and we camp or we go out at 6 a.m., you know, the next day. But now that it's 9 p.m. the previous night, are a lot of families saying, you know what? I every year we have our family. I can't change that. Did they cannibalize? But I've been seeing the numbers, and the numbers look good.
The numbers do look good. Here's where I'll give these stores credit, Mark. You and I know that in order to create the type of game-changing business that we're talking about, you want your business to produce events. You and I know that event marketing works very well. And if you can get people excited about a particular day, promotion, whatever, and you can get them to line up and be excited about it, you've done something as a marketer.
Absolutely. Event marketing is like, you know, we had Steve Hamilton from Atlanta and South Carolina on the show recently, and he talked about experiential marketing and really how it's about connecting with what they call the heart share of their customer
yep.
base, not just connecting with the customer, but getting heart share from them.
What I saw when I talked to people who participated in Black Friday or saw what they posted on Facebook, it became a family event, a friend event. They went in groups, they went in herds, they had fun, maybe they bought some things. But essentially what I think it's become is an event in itself, just like it's Thanksgiving, it's Black Friday, and now we're into the Christmas season.
If I go, it's going to be for the party of it, not necessarily because I need to buy anything.
Exactly.
You know, but obviously, you know, the people with the pepper spray, they need to buy stuff.
They do need to buy stuff. Apparently somebody took the last thing of what they wanted. But you know what? When I'm thinking about events and I'm thinking about things that people look forward to, it's pizza.
Ah, there you go. Now, is that a clue or are we going to, you know, you got to reveal.
We have with us in the studio, Mark, somebody whose name is on the lips of every Chicagoan and Chicagoan who has moved out of town. and that is the family who invented Chicago-style pizza. You know who that is?
And that's Mark Malnati.
Mark Malnati is in the studio, folks. Mark, you can say hi.
Hi.
And you know what?
I do?
You're doing awesome, and you kept your secret really well.
Did.
He didn't, you know, pipe in or anything, and he's a dynamic individual, and we're really excited to have him on the show today. Mark Malnati, owner of the famous Lou Malnati's.
I
have to say, I'm so excited to have him in the studio today because Mark, literally, I call you the premier ambassador for Chicago deep dish pizza. Bob, would you agree?
The inventor, Lou Malnati's, is the when I think of Chicago pizza, I think of Lou Malnati's. And when we come back after the break, Mark, we're going to learn about how this came about, how the family business started, how they became the king of Chicago pizza and invented a whole new brand.
Absolutely. So stick around. Right after the break, we're going to be joined by Mr. Mark Malnati. Stay tuned.
AM 560. Hey, we're back at Game Changers, business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here are Mark Imperial and Bob Regneris.
Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Mark Imperial, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Bob Regneris.
And we have with us Mark Malnati, are you the president? What is your title over there at Lou Malnati's?
We don't have a lot of titles.
No titles?
He's the man. He's the premier ambassador of Chicago Deep Dish Pizza now.
See,
that's his title.
Mark's an event promotion, so you know we're going to leave him with the titles. So we're going to call you the ambassador of Chicago-style pizza, at least for the rest of this hour. Does that sound all right?
That sounds great.
That's right. Every Chicagoan knows Lou Malnati's Pizzeria, okay? So you and your family, Mark, were instrumental in the creation of Chicago deep dish pizza, period. So give us some history. Tell us about that.
Well, it goes back a couple generations. My grandfather was the original manager at Chicago's original pan pizza operation. And in those days, they were giving pizza away at the bar just to sell cocktails.
Hmm.
So it became an appetizer, and my grandfather remembered that back in the old country that, you know, you could spruce it up a little bit. If your grandmother had, you know, a chicken or a rooster running around, then you could, you know, when he came of age, you could cut him up and put him on. They grabbed a little vegetable, a little whatever, and so he worked hard to kind of spruce up the pizza and make it more than just bread and butter. And, you know, and then pizza became something that could actually be sold.
Wow. They went all out. I mean, nowadays, you're lucky if you get a bowl of popcorn at a bar to sell some drinks, right?
Well, that was the way it was.
So tell us more about that. So after developing this pizza, like how old were you when your dad opened the first Lou's?
It was 1971. I was 15.
Right on. So tell us what it was like growing up there. I mean, was it an overnight success or was there ever a struggle in growing the business?
Well, it was the first time pan pizza had made its way into the suburbs of Chicago. And I remember the first couple weeks that when we'd open the door, people would already be lined up kind of out the door, down the street, around the block, and just so excited that they didn't have to drive to the city or drive somewhere else to get the product. And I remember my dad saying, hey, can you bring some of your friends in to kind of help, you know, kind of, you know, bust the tables and answer the phones and that. And so I'd, you know, make all kinds of outlandish promises to my friends that they'd get paid a bunch of money. And those things never really came true. I lost friends. But, you know, it built the foundation and got us off the blocks.
I mean, you promised teenagers pizza. I mean, at the very least, you know.
Right. We fed them. We just didn't pay.
All right.
Much.
So, you know, what else does a 16-year-old need?
Right. It was like, you know, $1.75 an hour, I think, back in the day.
Boy, they got to be ringing your phone off the hook nowadays.
Right.
So at that point, 1971, deep dish or thick crust pizza really didn't creep past the city limits, is what you're saying.
It really didn't. You know, it existed in just a few operations, and you know, and now Malnati's came on the scene, and you know, Malnati's has been the operation that just is kind of, you know, stayed true to the old product, and has kind of grown, you know, through the years, and you know,
So that authentic,
become the ambassador,
that authentic crust that you can only get on a Lou Malnati's pizza, has that essentially been the same since they were serving it in the club where your grandfather
Absolutely.
Worked?
Yeah, it has stayed exactly the same. And where, you know, where others have kind of – and in order to stay the same, you know, putting dough together, you know, flour and oil and, you know, and the like, those are commodities. And so we have to stay on top of those different commodities and watch, you know, how the grain grows. We have to do different things. So sometimes we have to change things just to keep it the same. You know, if there's a drought or if there's, you know, heavy flooding or something, it changes the crop. And so we're always monitoring every little detail of, you know, not only the dough, but of the mozzarella, of the sausage. And
wow, us pizza lovers really take that for granted.
Well, certainly.
Right. Well, you know what? It seems easy, doesn't it? If it was easy, everybody'd be doing it.
You know, right. You find that too, Mark, when you travel to another city and they open up a Chicago-style pizza place, the pizza never tastes the same. And what you're saying is there's so much going on behind the scenes just to maintain the consistency of the flavor and the texture that I haven't thought of until this day.
No.
That's amazing.
And it's pretty complicated for a simple item.
And would you say that Lou Malnati's taste, I mean, that's an asset in your business. That's very critical to your success is this formula, the consistency, the taste, and the presentation of the product.
I don't think there's anything else. No, I mean if you start screwing up the product, then people, you know, find their way to another pizzeria.
Right. And there's plenty of places here in the city, Mark, as we know, to get pizza. I mean, it is a commodity business. But yet, here's somebody who's got how many stores do you have open right now?
We have 33.
33 all around the Chicago area and suburbs.
Right. Yeah, and you know, if you think about it, yeah, there might be other places to go get a pizza. But except, you know, tell me why, in especially in this economy, how your businesses are growing and thriving while others are seeing like significant declines in business and a lot of them are shuttering their doors.
Yep.
What's your secret?
Well, I think the secret is not really that big a secret. I think having solid people and you know, hiring and then staying connected with people who really care, who take ownership in a business. I mean, this is, you know, that's no secret, right? Business is all about relationships, and we work really hard at Malnati's to maintain and to grow relationships and to grow one another as leaders.
Right on. As a matter of fact, I mean, I know you recently received a Tribune Award for being one of the top five big business places to work. Tell us about that.
Well, that's pretty exciting to be recognized by the Tribune. And, you know, I think it just goes back to the hard work of recognizing that as individuals and as leaders, we need to grow. And the best way to do that is to pour into one another, is to be mirrors for one another, is to, you know, be willing to say the hard things to one another so that we're pushed and we're pushing each other, we're challenging one another to grow. And, it, you know, as that happens, you know, workplace becomes a far more significant place to be in one's life, and people want to be there, and they bring that, you know, they bring a certain level of exuberance to work, and that, you know, that kind of excitement, that energy, and that love for one another gets poured into the product. This product happens to be pizza, and you taste you're tasting the care and the love that people have for one another in each and every pizza that we produce.
Wow. You know, that's refreshing. You know, when you see a lot of the way businesses are approaching this economy, Mark, they don't think about pouring into the product. They think about how to do it cheaper, how to use cheaper products, how to use cheaper labor. What you're saying is that this is our competitive advantage. So we want to make sure that we consistently have great taste, great texture, people who are passionate about this product, who are enthusiastically serving it to their customers, who are ensuring that people say, I had a great experience, I want to come back, and they tell their friends. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
That's amazing.
It is. I mean, that's a game-changer strategy in and of itself. I mean, focusing on pouring your efforts and your energies into the people that are going to be, in essence, ambassadors for your pizza and your place. And so they share their exuberance for the product to all your guests.
Sure. And then people stay around. And once you can develop a culture where people really want to be part of it, don't want to leave, don't want to do anything else, it just kind of perpetuates itself. I'd say out of 1,800 full and part-time staffers, 200, 250 have probably been with us 10 years. And that's that's pretty amazing in the restaurant industry. And of those, there's probably 50 that have been with us 20 years and, another handful, 30 years. We have also four women who've been with us over 40 years.
Wow. When your dad originally opened the first Lou's, did you see this being a big chain, or did you treat it like just a mom and pop, one single restaurant operation?
Well, I think my dad always saw it as being a big chain. My dad thought he was going to be Ray Kroc and, become the McDonald's of pizza. I didn't really see it like that. I was still in school. I thought it was a great place to come and bring my friends and bring a date or whatever. And I think I kind of lived out his dream. He died, soon after we opened the first couple stores. He died in 1978. And, it wasn't until probably, the mid-80s that I saw, hey, I think this is my dream too.
Right on.
Well, I think after the break, I think we want to get into that a little bit because I think it's important to understand kind of the evolution. Game changers don't always see it the same way. So I think after the break, we're going to pour into that a little bit and hear a little bit more about Mark and the story as he got involved in the business.
Absolutely. We'll be right back. Stick around.
AM 560. Hey, we're back at Game Changers, business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here are Mark Imperial and Bob Regnerus.
Hey, welcome back. It's Mark Imperial with my co-host, Mr. Bob Regnerus.
You know, just before the break, Mark, we were talking about this vision your dad had for the business. And you as a teenager just saying, hey, my dad owns a pizza place. It's a great place to bring my friends and impress him. You said at some point in the 80s, you caught his vision and saw it as something bigger than just a one-shop operation. Tell me a little bit about that evolution for you.
Well, I'd been in the business now for 10 or 15 years. It had been the only business I had known coming out of college. And I think I looked at it one day and said, I know my dad would be proud, but, is this something I see myself doing for the rest of my life? And it was about then we were opening a new store and I was walking, up and down the hall before our opening day and just seeing, just kind of looking and imagining how other people would kind of take the store in through their eyes and imagining how, that they'd be tasting the product for the first time in this new neighborhood. And I thought to myself, this is really fun. And this really is my life. It's not about living out my dad's dream anymore. This is something I really want to do. I wake up in the morning, I'm excited about it, and I can do this for the rest of my life.
It's a good gig, and I'll tell you, as a pizza fan, I am glad that you pursued it.
Yeah, for the benefit of all of us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Tell us, when you went in to open these new stores, I mean, you were going from a single restaurant, now you're starting to open a chain. A little bit of nuts and bolts. Did you do this all internally with your own internal staff, or did you get any consulting from firms that are expert in growing businesses and chains like that?
Hmm. We had a little consulting from the old Labenthal Horwath as far as site selection. Woman Christy Fowler did a fantastic job kind of teaching us the nuts and bolts of doing that. But, it was about creating the same product and just finding another place to do it where people would welcome Chicago pizza. I think that it was fortunate that we got lucky the first few times, and in doing that, you build a little bench strength, and that's what's really critical. Mm. That's what's so hard about opening a one-off restaurant. You don't have anybody to rely on. You don't have any place to train someone. You don't have any staff to bring into the new store that understand how you want things done. What the product's supposed to look like? How are you supposed to treat customers? Now anymore, I mean, we opened in Gold Coast this last summer, a store that seats over 300 people, and I think 60% of the people who came in and helped us open the store were already working in one of our other stores. And that, you know, that is a tremendous competitive advantage. You know, it's remarkable how you can, you know, how we can start a new store today and it feels like it's been a customer can walk in after we've been open a week and say, hey, how long, you know, how many years have you guys been here? Mm-hmm. I love hearing that question.
Wow.
You know, that is a challenge, I think, for any business owner who wants to grow is replication, because you can't physically be in all your stores anymore. And to have that process, to train your staff, to train people, to have that consistency that you need to maintain that product.
Right.
I think that's a huge obstacle for many business owners who can't get beyond that first store, that first operation.
Right, especially in the restaurant business, because we need solid performance in the kitchen. We need it on the floor. We need it in the front of the house. We need it all the way around. And the other advantage we have is we have a really good, you know, back office, a really good foundation. So the marketing is being handled, the IT is being handled, the human resources is being handled, the accounting is being handled. A first-time owner of a restaurant has to worry about handling all those things at the same time he's trying to produce good food and good service. It's a rough go.
Absolutely. What was the growth like as far as number of stores? Like, what did the timeline look like and how many stores were opening within that timeline?
You know, I think since around the late 70s, early 80s, we've opened, you know, roughly a store a year. And we felt like if we can only grow stores as fast as we could grow our staff and grow our leadership. That doesn't mean we're plotting. I mean, we're moving, you know, at the speed we think we can operate. We're a little quicker now. We feel like we can open a couple stores, in a year, a couple stores at a time. Because we have more bench strength.
You know, I think what we want to get into after the next break, Mark, is we want to talk a little bit about how you've moved it not only in the Chicago area. You've grown stores around the Chicago area, but you've actually given Lou Malnati's a national footprint. We want to talk about your throwdown with Bobby Flay, which got you on the Food Network. And I think we want to talk about this innovation called Taste of Chicago, where now anyone in the country who's got a hankering for Chicago pizza can pick up the phone or go online and get themselves a pizza delivered that they can have in their own home.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to talking some pizza because I want, you know, especially with the throwdown, I want to talk about this like whole debate between Chicago style pizza and New York style pizza,
right?
As if that's like some kind of debate.
To me, there's no question. I don't even know what that other pizza is. I mean, when you think of pizza, I'm thinking deep dish Chicago pizza. Well, I mean, what else is there?
Well, personally, I see, you know, Chicago deep dish pizza as a gourmet meal. And I look at New York style pizza, no offense, but it's like a street snack to me.
There you go.
Well, I'll tell you, I think New Yorkers are softening. We've had more and more coming into the city, tasting our product and saying, man, hey, how about coming to New York?
Is that right?
Mm.
Hey, stick around. After the break, more with Mr. Mark Malnati, the ambassador of Chicago Deep Dish Pizza. GameChangersRadioShow.com. We'll be right back.
AM 560. Hey, we're back at Game Changers, business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here are Mark Imperial and Bob Regneris.
Hey, welcome back. And in the studio with us, we're joined by Mr. Mark Malnati, the premier ambassador of Chicago Deep Dish Pizza.
So let's talk a little bit, Mark, about expansion. You are able now to send a Lou Malnati's pizza anywhere in the country. And the website is tastesofchicago.com. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, back in the day when Taste of Chicago was first starting, the Taste of Chicago, the festival, we found that there were so many people that were kind of flocking to Chicago to participate in this event. And then out-of-towners were getting a chance to eat Malnati's pizza because we've been in that event for 30 years now. And my brother looked at me and said, you know, we got to find a way to be able to ship this to them. You know, why don't we try something at the holidays? And so he opened up a little office and said, we're taking orders for the holidays now. We're gonna send them out. He got Federal Express to help him with packaging. And we started shipping them out. And we, you know, pretty good success the first couple of years. And then he expanded it to Valentine's Day and a couple other days. And before you knew it, we were doing it every week of the year. There was a lot of demand, a lot of pent-up demand. And so that business now, you know, I, I think last year we sent out over 300,000 pan pizzas, all handmade.
Wow.
All handmade by our best guys, incidentally, who we recruit and bring together in a singular location and prepare all the pizzas. And you know that's you know the rest is history.
Game changing idea, pizza by mail. Amazing what the internet allows you to do.
Changing place of sale, changing place of business.
It is a game changing move. Now I think we want to hear about this throwdown. Now Lou Malnati certainly is known by Chicago, but like you said, people are starting to recognize this now on a national level. And my family sit down and Mark's family, we sat down and we watched the throwdown with Bobby Flay. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, it was a 2-day taping of what they said was the pilot for a new show that they were going to debut on the Food Network called Pie Nation. And so they had me in a lot of different situations at a tailgate, at outside of Soldier Field and at the Bean and, you know, touting this new show. And suddenly at the end of the second day of taping, where we have a live audience of pizza fans in our Buffalo Grove store, and I'm explaining to them the nuances of cheese and sausage and dough, and all of a sudden a couple people start screaming, and in from the back of the room comes this guy, and people are looking at him like, oh my God. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm probably supposed to know who this is now. and so I did my very best to kind of hold it together and welcome who was Bobby Flay, who, you know, and while I'm looking at my wife Jeannie and our marketing director Mindy Kaplan, I'm saying, I know who that is. And Bobby Flay makes his way up and asks me if I want to have a throwdown, and the rest of it was just kind of live TV. And we had a lot of fun with him. He's a great guy, fantastic chef.
Open the door, Bob. We've got the Iron Chef here today, and surprise!
Right. He would kill us.
Yeah. Right. No, Mark, I got to ask you this, because first of all, I want to start a petition, because I do want to see Pie Nation. Like, I want that to be a real show.
Yeah. I did too.
I want to see that. So we need a petition to see Pie Nation. But when that happened, did you feel punked, or did you love it? The surprise.
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic that, you know, someone of that stature would come out to Buffalo Grove, Illinois to play in the dough with us that day.
And of course, you know, he meticulously prepared for that day too. It wasn't just he just showed up out of the blue. He planned for that.
Oh no, he had a team working on pan pizza for weeks and coming into our place and, you know, unbeknownst to us and just kind of watching how we did things, eating the product. And you know, I was pretty happy to see Malnati's kind of picked out from the whole group of, you know, other worthy restaurants in the Chicago area and chosen to represent Chicago on that show.
So what is the key, the key differences between Chicago-style pizza and New York-style pizza?
Well, we weren't worried about New York-style pizza that day. He was trying to make pan pizza, and, you know, and he's got a flair with food, and he was, you know, he probably, you know, went overboard a little bit. He's a little too sophisticated with broccoli rob and, you know, all kinds of
yeah, I saw that. I thought he was throwing a little California in there or something.
Yeah.
And I had to help him a little with his dough. He had a little too much dough in the pan, so I was, you know, kind of supporting him by pulling some of it out, and he was easy to work with. He was a great guy.
Well, there's nothing like being validated on a national level with somebody coming in of his stature saying, this is the product that I want to try to match and I want to beat. So it's really a testament to you and your family, Mark, about what you've done in Chicago and really the legend that you've made for yourself and for your pizza. So we can get pizza online at tasteofchicago.com. You're in, what, 30, did you say 33 different or 40 different places now? Here in the Chicagoland area?
Right, 33 different stores.
And so where would people find out where their nearest location is?
They can go on the online, go to lumalnatis.com. If they go on tasteofchicago.com, they can easily toggle over to that, or they can call us at 1-800-LOU-TO-GO.
1-800-LOU-TO-GO.
Good number.
Easy to remember.
Mark, I absolutely appreciate you taking the time and coming on to Game Changers today. Well, did you have a good time?
I had a great time. So nice of you to have me.
He made it through.
Absolutely, and we loved having you. Thank you very much, and everybody, enjoy Lou Malnati's pizza for sure.
I know we will over the holiday season.
I'm going after the show.
Let's go.
Hey, we'll be right back with more Game Changers in the home stretch. We'll be right back.
AM 560. Hey, we're back at Game Changers, business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here are Mark Imperial and Bob Regnerus.
Hey, welcome back to Game Changers Radio Show. Hey, Bob, I had a terrific time today.
I was inspired. I love the stories. I love the fact that Mark talked about catching the vision. I think that was the thing that most captured my attention, was that he caught the vision of what the business could become, and he saw it what it is. And I think that's one thing I think that's lacking for a lot of people, is they can't see how big something can become. Why be afraid of turning a one-man, one-shop pizza restaurant into a chain that's known not only in your city, but nationwide?
I think it's
amazing.
And you know what else I love? I love the fact that, you know, and it's a good reminder today especially, that his focus really is on the product and the experience for his guest and pouring his energies into his people, because essentially those are the people that are going to be, you know, become ambassadors for their product.
Well, you hear it, but it becomes a cliche, but he said it. Business is relationships, and it's relationships with his staff, it's relationships with his customers, and Malnati's has that with their customers. And I think every business who caters to that customer base has to have that sort of, just that fan type of relationship. They can't do without it. If they move away, they crave it. I think all businesses should strive to have that kind of relationship with their customers.
It's a great reminder, and especially today, you know, to reflect back, because, I mean, it's so easy to get caught up into, you know, I need to make more sales. What can I do to create more transactions, be transactional in your business rather than relational, right? So, you know, it's really a good reminder to take a look at what are you doing to create relationships, especially today in this new economy, as we call it. In the new economy, it's all about relationships.
Well, here's a business that isn't shutting down. This business is thriving in this economy because they've invested in those relationships. Those customers have stayed with them.
And it sounds so brilliantly simple, yet so overlooked, is just, you know, we're bringing it back to the basics. It's all about your product and the experience of your customer, because everybody else that falters and doesn't focus on that, they're the ones going to be shutting their doors, because today, you know, the control is back in the consumer's hands. They're making a lot more careful decisions on who they patronize, right?
Yep.
So,
if you aren't serving your customers, they're going to go find those services other places.
Somebody who will.
Yep.
Absolutely. So talk about Game Changers as we move forward, Bob, our live events, how to plug in.
Well, we want you to go. The central hub for all this is our website, GameChangersRadioShow.com. You can register there to be an insider. We've got amazing gifts for you. We'll give you updates about the show. You can download the show. You can play it on your MP3 player. You could stream it off of iTunes. Nobody has an excuse not to plug into Game Changers Radio Show.
And spread the word. If you know an entrepreneur that could benefit from hearing inspirational stories, tips, tricks, and advice from business leaders and the people that made them famous.
And two, you know, if you're listening, you've got a story. If you think if you're running a great business, we want to hear from you. We want to interview you here on the show. We want other people to hear your story.
Absolutely. And getting back to, you know, relationship marketing, it's really coming back to grassroots marketing is like the new media.
Well, we have to be resourceful in this economy, and we're finding some things that people are doing which are extremely resourceful, and we have to be creative. And I think that's what some of the stuff that we're learning here, and the businesses we're going to feature, Mark, are extremely creative. They're extremely resourceful, and they know what they're doing. And those are the type of businesses we want to bring to the people listening to the show.
So definitely get plugged in, GameChangersRadioShow.com. And we are dedicated to creating monthly events, too, to plug in with the local business community.
Yeah, there'll always be a link on the website, Mark, which lets you know when the next live event is. And we'll hold them around the Chicagoland area. It's where you can connect with us, you can meet us, and you can connect with other successful business owners each and every month.
And staying congruent with, you know, grassroots marketing, one of the elements that we're featuring in our live events is the Local Business Connections Summit. So that's where business owners are going to get together and be able to share in cooperative marketing, low-cost, even free marketing to help each other out in this economy.
We're going to help people out. We're going to present a game-changing solution to those business owners. They're going to love it.
So I'd like to say thank you once again to our guest, Mr. Mark Malnati, the ambassador of Chicago Deep Dish Pizza. And we'll see you again for another episode of Game Changers Radio.
Thanks for listening.